The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
If you're of a certain generation like me, you probably remember where you were when O.J. Simpson was being chased by police seeking to question him in relation to the death of his ex-wife, Nicole. The reason being, for me, certainly, we were all in the United States for the Ireland-Italy World Cup game in 1994. And the night before the game, everyone was in bars in New York watching this extraordinary car chase going live on television from helicopter coverage. If you're of a later generation, you may have seen the TV series The People versus O.J. Simpson, which detailed the extraordinary trial which convulsed America at the time. Marion McKeown, US correspondent of the Business Post, is with us. And of course, Marion, at the end of the trial, he got off, didn't he?
Well, as they said, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. You know, it's astonishing. You're right, Matt, about the of a certain generation. But even going back before either you or me, I'd say O.J. Simpson was the first probably American football superstar. And certainly, you know, so much of his legacy, because of the awful, the scandal, the brutal murder of his wife and her partner, which he was acquitted for in a criminal trial, but was found liable for in a civil trial 2 years later. But before that, going back to the 70s, when he was he was the biggest college star in American football. He played for University of Southern California. He won the Heisman Trophy in his second year. He was the runner-up for it in his first ever year. I know very little about American football.
I was just thinking there, Marion.
Even I am astounded by the records he broke. And even more so, things that he became, you know, all these things about how he passed the 200 yard line as a 2,000 yards as a running back means nothing to me, but apparently it's very impressive. But he did become, even for Hertz, back then, black football stars and black sports stars in general, it was very hard for them to make the commercial crossover. He became the spokesperson and the face of Hertz car rentals. And there was this iconic ad of him running through the airport looking for his Hertz car. And for a black star to have been given that contract was literally unheard of. And it's, you know, and then he married Nicole Smith. She was this beautiful sort of blonde, blue-eyed, and he always said, "I'm not black, I'm OJ." And he was kind of seen as, "Oh my God, is this the first post-racial football star?" And then, of course, ironically, when he was tried for the murder, and I think there are very few people, yes, he was acquitted by the jury, but it really polarised America along racial lines.
Marion, I think this actually is the important point, is that okay, he had become, even beyond the sporting career and the ads, he'd also played a part in the Naked Gun movies. That's as an right. acting career with Leslie Nielsen.
Film star. Yep.
But then when he went to trial, this became a big thing, that it became racially charged, enormously racially charged, on the basis that the accusation was, because white, beautiful white woman is killed, used to be married to a black man, the black man must be guilty.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was a very cynical trial. Let's just put it that way. Johnny Cochran, you know, your job is to get the best possible outcome for your client. And as a defense lawyer, it launched Johnny Cochran as a legal superstar as well. And of course, there was all the celebrity connections to the Kardashians. And, you know, was he also having an affair with, let's not libel anyone, but there was a lot of talk about that as well. It was a case, a trial that had America absolutely transfixed from the whole time it went on. And of course, then when he was acquitted, I think people felt it was decided that the jury did not want to convict him because he was black. And that even though it was established during the trial that some of the policemen involved had behaved improperly, but I think that nobody really felt that he deserved to be acquitted. Let's just say that. And then there was a civil trial 2 years later. His ex-wife's family, Nicole Brown's family, and Ron Goldman, her boyfriend, were awarded $25 million initially. There was a subsequent award of around $33 million. He declared bankruptcy. And then there was this bizarre case. And it was a bit like, I think you could almost say Al Capone. After sort of several years after all of this quietened down, he went to live in Florida and then he came back to Las Vegas. And apparently a lot of memorabilia of his had been he claimed it was stolen. And this ended up in a sort of a face-off in a hotel room in Las Vegas. He went in with a couple of guys. They were armed. And then he was done and convicted for armed robbery. He got a 33-year prison sentence. And people really thought, okay, that was extremely harsh. This property did belong to him, apparently. It was his. But it was felt that this was the sentence he should have got. Really, not that you can play with the law like that. Anyway, he was released after 9 years. He served 9 years. He came out of prison when he was 91. You know, his career was...
Sorry, 71. 71, presumably.
61.
61, sorry, yeah.
I beg your pardon. He was convicted when he was 61. He went to prison. He came out 9 years later. He was 70. That was 2017, I think. And he was diagnosed with cancer last May. And then he said, you know, that he had received treatment. He was doing well. It was reported in January this year that he was had entered hospice care. And then, as I say, his death was just announced today.
But you Marion, know, I, you see, the other thing which was fascinating, that book that he wrote in 2006 to make money, If I Did It. Yeah. And he also did TV interviews, sort of hypothetically, if he had committed the murders that he'd almost denied committing.
Yeah, that this is how he would have done it. And, you know, Rupert Murdoch took a lot of flack for that, I remember. And HarperCollins had to drop the book. And then OJ, I think the families then of Ron Goldman as well sued to say any money that comes out of that book, we're having it, you know. And I think in the end, OJ Simpson may have got about $800,000 as an advance and managed to hang on to that. You know, he was just a lightning rod for controversy. And it was one of those things, as I say, that by 1979, you know, his career as the football icon was over. He probably could have had a career. And he was, of course, a very well-respected sports commentator before the murder. He was a very charismatic guy. He was very articulate. He was very handsome. You know, as you say, the Naked Gun. He probably would have had a career across all of those, you know, medias, in films, you know, sports commentator, writer, who knows. But basically, that murder, like, you know, I think it's safe to say, whether he was acquitted or not, I don't think there's any doubt in many people's minds that he was responsible for the brutal murder of his wife and of her boyfriend as well. And, you know, as I said, the whole thing just polarized America. And I think some people did see it. The most sympathetic view from his perspective was that it was a terrible waste. And you know, but he never showed any remorse. He never showed any shame. Even when he had a parole hearing, you know, to release him from the armed robbery conviction, he refused to show any remorse, refused to say he was sorry, and more or less said, well, it was my stuff. You know, it was quite surprising he even got parole. And then, you know, he's been living in Las Vegas, basically playing golf, keeping a low profile. There was no appetite. Some celebrities who become notorious are able to parlay it in a later life. He wasn't able to. He was too toxic.
Marion McKeown from the Business Post, thank you very much for being with us. Here's listener Miriam who says, I worked in New York Midtown when the trial was on and the verdict was announced at lunchtime. In all my days, I never saw as many men and women in suits out at lunchtime as I saw that day. When the verdict was announced, the shock that went through the bar and restaurant was unreal. But if I remember correctly at the time, it was absolute shock for so many people who felt that he was so obviously guilty. But then there were many people who celebrated it, who just refused to believe that he could have done it. And it did tend to break down on racial lines. It depended on the colour of your skin and your ethnic background as to whether you believed O.J. Simpson or not.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.